Welcome into the Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I am your host, Andrew Rogers. We have an election coming up. A lot of issues here across the Pikes Peak region in Southern Colorado. Also, some statewide ballot measures as well. One getting a lot of conversation. Of course, that is Proposition HH. And in the simplest terms, it's a ballot initiative that would reduce property taxes, increase the cap under the state's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, or TABOR, while allowing the state to retain more revenue and reduce those TABOR refunds to try and help even out these skyrocketing valuations we've seen on the property side. I'm joined here for the first half of the conversation about Prop HH by State Senate President Steve Fenberg. And Steve, thanks so much for joining us here on KRDO News Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
So did my kind of back of the napkin kind of, you know, really cursed summary of HH, did that kind of hold up?
You did a pretty decent job. Better than a lot of summaries I've seen out there.
So, I mean, you know, from that legislative perspective and, you know, dealing with such high property valuations and, you know, kind of, you know, staggering tax bills that we've seen, especially since we got rid of the Gallagher Amendment, what is the goal and, you know, what does HH do to help mitigate that here across the state?
Yeah, so like you said, I mean, it's been a little bit of a perfect storm that's led us to this situation. It is the removal of the Gallagher Amendment, which voters approved a couple of years ago. But it's a few other things. I mean, like I said, it's a perfect storm. So it's that plus the fact that, you know, we had this pandemic that really screwed up with property value significantly. A lot of people have been moving here. On top of that, we have a housing shortage, and that's just driving the price up again. So it's this moment in time where we are seeing astronomical increases in property values, which, of course, then leads to astronomical increases in property taxes. For some people, that might be welcome news, right? Because they all of a sudden their home value just went up by quite a bit. But for many, many people, it's devastating because they're on fixed incomes or they live paycheck to paycheck, and the house that they used to be able to afford, they no longer can because of the property tax bill that's coming due. This is a very big crisis and something that I think is going to have economy-wide impacts. It's not just residential units. It's also commercial properties, and HH provides relief for them as well. So what HH does is it attempts to mitigate this crisis. It does that by reducing the assessment rate for every type of property, whether it's commercial, residential, or otherwise. And it also provides targeted relief to those who we think are most vulnerable in this moment. And those are seniors, those are working families, those are renters, people that really already can't afford the cost of living that we've seen in Colorado, and this would only put them over the edge. It also makes sure that we don't have this situation in the future, right? We don't want to fix this crisis just to have it pop back up again in a couple of years. And it does that by actually capping local district property tax growth at the rate of inflation. But it gives that decision, that ability to go above and beyond that cap to the local elected officials, the local governing board. So if it's a fire district, it's the fire board. If it's a county, it's the county commissioners. They get to decide in a conversation with their local community what is best for their local community. And so what this does is it provides that across-the-board relief. It targets additional relief to those most vulnerable, and it also puts in place a policy to keep this crisis from coming back.
And you mentioned, you know, kind of having some of those other conversations and, you know, more involvement with those local boards. Then what is your response? Because we've had a number of county commission boards across the state, including here in El Paso County, coming out in opposition, advocating for a no vote on Prop HH.
Well, the reality is if HH fails, then property taxes are going to go up by more than 40% on average across the state. And what that means is that a lot of these local district budgets are going to be going up 30-40%. And so I can understand why a local district doesn't want to reduce the windfall that they're going to receive. But I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think that's fiscally responsible. And I don't think that's what's good for the people of Colorado. You know, some increases in property value should result in some increases in property tax revenue. I don't think 40% across the state on average is something that is necessary or is sustainable. And so if a local elected official, if a local county or a district is saying vote no on Prop HH, That means they are saying, I want your property taxes to go up, and I want my district to collect all of that revenue for my budget.
And when it comes to this, you know, you mentioned that it puts in that framework to at least cap that growth. So what does that look like, you know, once we see some relief, but more importantly, down the road, as you mentioned, because this isn't a, you know, this was sparked by a moment in time, but this is going to impact a timeline, if you will.
Right. So the long-term policy is any reductions in revenue for these local districts is going to be backfilled. So it depends on the type of district and it depends on the area and your growth. But districts are not going to face budget cuts because of HH. They may have a reduction in the increase of their budgets. And for some districts, the state is going to make them whole. For other districts, they're going to get partially backfilled because we want to be equitable across the state. Other types of districts like schools are actually going to get 100% backfilled. And of course, that is from the revenue that's generated from changing the Tabor cap. But the other aspect, like you mentioned, is that we want to keep this crisis from happening in the future. Just, you know, we don't want to be right here again in a couple of years. And what that is that local cap at the local district level, that is a soft cap. It's not a one size fits all. It's not saying there's no situation where you ever could allow your value growth surpass the rate of inflation. They can take a vote to do so if it's done by the governing board. It's an official vote. But generally speaking, the default is your budget and your revenue can't grow faster than inflation. And what that will do is means that all of the thousands of taxing districts out there, all these special districts, all these local districts, are generally speaking going to have their increases reduced than they would be otherwise. And so that's important because that's where a lot of the growth is coming from. That's why your property taxes are going up so high, is because every district out there, every taxing authority, is generally speaking collecting the full amount of the revenue that they can collect based on your home value increase. I think really what should happen is they should reduce their mill levies. And that's what this does. This says, if you're surpassing the rate of inflation, you have to reduce your mill levies or take a formal vote with citizen approval to actually go past that.
We're up against the clock. We're going to continue talking about Proposition HH still ahead and some of the misconceptions and really how it plays into Tabor even more with State Senate President Steve Fenberg as we continue right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We're continuing our conversation around Proposition HH. We're spending this first half hour with State Senate President Steve Fenberg. We talked a little bit about kind of what Proposition HH does during that first segment, but there's, as we all heard, even you mentioned, there's a lot of kind of misconceptions about this legislation, this ballot initiative that we're all going to be filling out a ballot for here across the state of Colorado. So as important as what the bill does, what is HH not that you keep hearing about that, you know, it's going to do this, it's going to do that?
Well, the opposition is out there saying that HH eliminates Tabor refunds forever. It does not do that, not even close. In fact, the Denver Post editorial just came out and said that is a fabrication, that is not accurate. Several economists and studies have come out to say that is not accurate. The more likely scenario is actually that people continue to get Tabor refunds for the next 10 years, which is the lifetime of HH at the moment. And so here are the facts. Next year, if HH passes, next year, everybody will get a guaranteed Tabor refund of $833. That's more than what people got last year, and it's more than what 62% of the state would get if HH didn't pass. Because if HH doesn't pass, it means it'll be based on your income. Lower income people will get less money. Higher income people will get a lot more money. So most people benefit from HH for Tabor refunds in the next year. There's no question about that. In the future, when people say that this gets rid of your Tabor refund forever, that's not true. Because actually, we are seeing that the Blue Book states very clearly that on average, the reduction in someone's Tabor refund the following year, so you'll get that refund in 2025, is $46. So when you're getting Tabor refunds of $600, $700, $800. We are only reducing it in that year by $46 in return for everybody getting, on average, more than $500 in property tax relief. That's a good deal. That means the average person, most people are coming out ahead. They're benefiting. Their taxes overall will go down significantly. And this is a good deal for them. And it's clear that the opposition is spreading misinformation, and I would say, frankly, lies, in order to scare people and get them to vote no.
Wait, you're saying two different sides on a political issue would, you know, be saying lies to try and get their vote across?
First time you've heard that.
I mean, come on, Steve. This is America. That doesn't happen here.
Well, look, the reality is nobody knows what the economy is going to do in 5-10 years. Nobody knows what property taxes are going to look like 5-10 years from now. So anybody can put whatever assumptions you want into a formula and spit out the answer you're looking for. I think that the numbers that we are seeing, the formulas that we are getting from the Blue Book and from the state economists, shows very reasonably that people are going to continue to get TABOR refunds even under HH. And if you don't get TABOR refunds in the future, it'll be almost entirely because of how well the economy is or is not, not the results of HH.
Well, and then let me ask you this, because you'd mentioned during that first segment that some of these, you know, budget shortfalls that, you know, different municipalities would see because of having to cap a mill levy would kind of get backfilled. You mentioned 100% for education. Is there enough from just that bit of TABOR retention? Is there enough to go around to actually keep that whole? I mean, is that actually going to be feasible?
Absolutely. It definitely is going to be feasible. It not only provides backfill for all these districts, it also provides $20 million every year in low-income rental assistance to help people stay in their homes. And then on top of that, if there's leftover money, it goes into the state education fund to go back out to local communities for their schools. There is enough money. I've never understood the opposition when they, on one hand, say this is going to get rid of your TABOR refund, and also at the same time say there's not going to be enough money to fully backfill the districts. Both of those facts cannot be true if you think about it. If your TABOR refund on average next year is $833 per taxpayer, and they're saying that's going to go down to zero, then you can't also say there's not going to be enough money to backfill the districts. The math just doesn't add up. The reality is that this only slightly increases someone's TABOR refund, and there's more than enough money to backfill the districts, and additional money will be placed in the state education fund for long-term public school investments. That's the reality. That's the math. And why is that? Why does the math work out that way? Because our economy is doing so well. We have never had TABOR refunds this high. This is an unusual thing. So many times, you know, the last 10 years, five of those years, we didn't even have TABOR refunds because the economy wasn't doing that well and it wasn't surpassing that cap. We now are, because the economy is running so strong in our state. It makes sense for a small portion of that surplus to go towards reducing the average person's property tax bill and making sure our schools and fire districts and libraries aren't negatively impacted because of that.
Well, and then let's talk a little bit about the oversight of that money coming back, because, you know, we've seen it before, you know, even dating back to 2012 when, you know, marijuana was legalized, and, you know, it's going to go to schools, it's going to have, you know, this educational utopia, but it seems as if actually tracking that money down, you know, even 10, 11 years down the road now, it's kind of hard. So what is there to actually make sure that it's not just going into some, you know, giant government coffer?
Well, I mean, on the marijuana side of things, obviously I was not part of that campaign. It was a citizen initiative. And that money went into mostly into the construction and remodel projects for schools. That money did go there. I mean, it went to the BEST program. It built gymnasiums. It did good work. If the campaign promised that it was going to solve all of our education woes, then that was incorrect, and I think that was misinforming folks. The reality on this side is that this money goes into the state education fund. State education fund is the bank account for funding schools. And it's not funding gymnasiums. It's not funding extra things on top. It is funding core classrooms. It is funding teacher salaries. It is funding per pupil K-12 investments across the state of Colorado. We have two things in our Constitution that are at odds with each other: TABOR which limits how much money the state can spend, and then Amendment 23, which supposedly is supposed to guarantee adequate funding for K-12, and it has a formula. Both of those have a formula. That doesn't, they don't work together. It just doesn't function. This is the way that we can protect Tabor, ensure Tabor refunds for the future, and make sure that we're fully funding K-12 according to Amendment 23. That's what this is. It is helping us get through this fiscal knot, this fiscal thicket that we have put into our Constitution, and actually be able to do both.
State Senate President Steve Fenberg, really appreciate your time joining us here on KRDO News Radio. If people want to learn more about Prop HH, where would you point them towards?
They can go to the campaign's website, which is yesonhh.org.
Perfect. We appreciate that. Still ahead here on KRDO News Radio, we're going to flip the coin. We're going to talk to those who don't see things as Steve does. That as we continue here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers, and today we are talking about Proposition HH. It is on the upcoming ballot here statewide. Joining me now on the KRDO Newsline is Tony Gagliardi. He is the State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses, one of the voices coming out in opposition of Prop HH. And Tony, thank you so much for joining us here on KRDO News Radio.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
And let's talk a little bit about some of the concerns that your organization and what you guys have heard, especially from business communities, others, leading to this opposition campaign against HH.
Well, let me first start by explaining how we came to our position. Like always, on any issue we get involved in, we do a official member ballot and survey with our membership. And we put HH out there to our membership, and by 90%, responding, they rejected Proposition HH. So that is how we came to our opposition.
And when it came to that survey of your membership, was it kind of just a straight, you know, yes, no, or were there maybe some comments as far as what led even the membership to come out against HH?
Well, the way we do it, the way it's prepared, is we put the question to them and we give a background, how this came about, what's the background of HH. Then we give them a proponent's side of it and the opponent's side of it. And then they vote based on the information they received. They see HH for what it is. It's a bait and switch. There's no doubt about it. And kind of devious on the part of the lawmakers because they're paying for HH, which money that rightfully already belongs to the taxpayer.
Yeah, and as you hear from, you know, lawmakers and, you know, those in favor, they're painting it as a win-win, that you're still going to have Tabor, it's going to lower the property taxes, it's still going to fund education, but it seems, you know, almost like there's not enough to go around and something's going to have to give.
Well, first of all, it's the legislature is... Let me put it this way. They're putting $20 in your back pocket, and they're taking $17 out of your front pocket. What HH will do over the next 10 years could very easily add another $1.5 billion in new spending, because HH allows the legislature to raise the allowable amount of money that they are able to keep under Tabor. It's allowed to raise 1% for every year for 10 years. If they want to continue that, it takes no vote. The taxpayers will not get a vote. It will just be up to the legislature to decide if they want to continue withholding that extra money or not. What's your speculation? Are they going to quit withholding extra money? By 2032, that extra 10% adds up to $2.2 billion a year. that will be taken away from taxpayer refunds. Therefore, Tabor, as we know it, will be long gone.
Yeah, that's just one of the many things, you know, that is going on with this, because I think knowing the history of this, a lot of people maybe didn't have the best understanding of the Gallagher Amendment, which was repealed, which led to kind of that skyrocketing of our property taxes. And now not a lot of people, I don't think, realize just, you know, how crucial the Taxpayer Bill of Rights is, or Tabor. And that's another thing that could have those more long-term impacts versus what people are really trying to paint is just this, you know, short-term relief, knowing that we have dealt with sky-high property tax bills and valuations that really is affecting everyone, and there could be better ways to address that, right?
This could have been addressed right after the Gallagher Amendment was repealed. And the legislature failed to carry through on what their promise was to address this question. If we repeal Gallagher, yes, appreciation rates are going to skyrocket in assessments. The legislature could have stepped in, and they said they would, but they never did, to solve that issue back when Gallagher was repealed. Instead, and the only reason we are having to vote on HH is because Proposition HH is in actuality a tax increase. Otherwise, the citizens of Colorado would not have to vote. The legislature could step right in and fix this by lowering the assessment rates, but they don't want to. This is a tax increase. It's the only way, the only reason we are voting on this, because we have to vote on tax increases.
And we've seen these kind of issues before. We even saw the fight even to get HH on the ballot and the Supreme Court having to step in. So, I mean, why do you think it is such a, you know, maybe misnomer that there could be those tax increases, knowing that we're still having to go ahead and put this on the ballot?
I think the Supreme Court, in their vision, in their view, recognized this for what it was. It's a tax increase, and therefore it had to go on the ballot. Now, the question before the Supreme Court, if I understood the question correctly, that was put to them, was this contained more than one subject. HH is a combination of a lot of different issues, but in the court's view, they're all tied together, and I think that's the reason that they put it on, that they okayed it for the ballot. But the Supreme Court, I think, knew that this had to go on the ballot because it was a tax increase.
We are talking with Tony Gagliardi. He is the state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. We're continuing talking about Proposition HH. We have to step away for one final break. We'll have much more of this conversation still ahead on The Extra, right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We've been talking about Proposition HH today, joined on this second half of the show by Tony Gagliardi, the state director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses, talking from the opposition side of Proposition HH. And Tony, you know, we've heard kind of some of the reasons what you've heard from your membership. We've also heard a number of local governing bodies, including the El Paso County Commission here, kind of coming out advocating to vote no on Proposition HH. So why is it not just the business community, but even, you know, our local governing bodies saying, hey, this is not probably going to be the best option long term?
Oh, that's, boy, you talk about an open-ended question. I could go on for an hour just on that question. No, I think everybody, Colorado Municipal League, I believe, has come out against it. Colorado County Zinc has come out against it. Local governments have come out against it. There's a lot of factors, I think, driving the opposition to this. And by for local governments to come out in force the way they have, I think it says a lot about the process that was followed. Basically, there was no process followed in getting HH onto the ballot. The legislature passed this in the last 72 hours of the session, of the 2023 session. There were no formal committee hearings held on this. Citizens didn't get to have any opportunity to weigh in. And I think who really is getting the shaft by HH are those who rent, because renters disproportionately lose their TABOR refunds but won't benefit from the small reduction in property taxes. And I emphasize small reduction. Under HH, rental properties are actually taxed at a higher rate than owner-occupied properties. So when the rent costs go up, those costs get passed right along to the renters, and and they have no say about it.
And, you know, I posed that, you know, same question to the yes on HH side, and they basically cried that it's just, you know, local counties would lose part of their funding, but it seemed to be much more than that. And as you mentioned as well, that kind of disproportionate impact on renters versus homeowners. And, you know, I also have to ask, a lot of the homeowners are bearing the burden, at least, you know, this year, paying those high property tax bills. I mean, what would be the better way to balance this out moving ahead?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things that needs to be done. HH needs to be defeated on the ballot. And the legislature and the governor needs to call the legislature back in for a special session to do what they should have done. Actually had a open, honest debate about how to solve this issue. If HH was really for the good of property owners, why is HH almost entirely being funded by the National Education Association, the Colorado Education Association, the Classroom Teachers Union? Why are they the ones funding this? Because they know what it means in future dollars coming to the school systems.
Well, and it's built off of a lot of, you know, theoretical future dollars as well, you know, assuming that Colorado's economy will continue to have, you know, positive movement. But there could also be pretty big impacts if there happened to, you know, God forbid, be an economic downturn here in the state as well.
Absolutely. And nobody has the crystal ball. Nobody has the crystal ball. We could have another pandemic. Look what it did to our economy then. And HH is bad for Colorado. It was passed in the dark of night. There was no public input. Local governments didn't have input on this.
Yeah, and as you mentioned as well,
the citizens of Colorado didn't.
Yeah, and as you mentioned as well, the property tax part of it too. It's only kind of a smaller reduction, but it's also more of a temporary reduction. So this could, you know, really essentially be, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul down the line tenfold.
Well, absolutely, because you can't predict what our economy is going to be 3 years from now. When we go through reassessments 2 years down the road, when they start reassessing properties and looking at future property taxes, we don't know if there's going to be money left to do this. They say there will, but, you know, they didn't trust us to have any input. We're going to trust them to say, don't worry, it'll be okay.
But I also have to ask, knowing the, you know, the makeup right now of legislatures and everything going on in Denver, is that it's, you know, one party control, both sides of the legislature and the governor's mansion. Yes. So if this does get shot down, what could come next? And could it be maybe even worse than, you know, what we at least have a say in now?
Well, what could be worse if for them to run the same type of scheme they ran the first time, and that was passing this with no input. Call a special session, run it like it should be, allow the citizens of Colorado to have input and voice their opinion, allow local governments to the table. And what is basically being done here is the public, business, large and small, and the public were not allowed to the table. We're not allowed to sit at the table. And when one is not allowed to sit at the table, then one just needs to build their own table. And that's what we're doing by opposing and defeating Proposition HH.
And the first step of that, getting that voice to the table or getting it back to the table is with the votes, with, the ballots that are in our possession now, due back for our November 7th election statewide. Tony, if people want to get more information, research, get some of those, the facts, kind of both sides of the story of HH, what's the best way to do so?
Go to our website, nfib.com/Colorado, and you will see we have a long string of content running regarding Proposition HH, and they can always contact my office directly, and that number is 303-831-6099.
Tony Gagliardi, the State Director for the NFIB, really appreciate your time in joining us here on KRDO News Radio.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
And also want to thank State Senate President Steve Fenberg as well for his time during the first half of this conversation. Again, you can read information on both sides. We'll have links posted over at krdo.com/radio when we have this available online, as well as wherever you get your podcasts. That does it here for The Extra. We have the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Show still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio.